Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the 2A Lifestyle. I want to greatly appreciate you for listening in to another one. Before we get into the main stories today, which is going to be one, but it's some pretty big, important information that I feel like we need to talk about. Before we get into that, let's go ahead and get the out of order. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to this podcast. I would greatly appreciate it. It's the best way to keep up with new episodes. Also, if you can, leave us a review. Obviously, iTunes or Apple Podcasts are the king of podcast platforms, but Spotify also has a great system. That's the best way for people to find us when they're looking for gun-related content. Also, if you haven't already, check out our social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, really getting active on Twitter. We also have a Discord. We have basically any type of social media that's out there, we're on. So check us out, 2A Life. Also, check out our Patreon. Anything you guys give us, it's greatly appreciated. It goes directly into this podcast to make this podcast better. Just like with our new soundboard, I hope you can tell the difference in sound quality. And once I kind of get things all figured out, I believe we should be ready to go. Probably, it's been a crazy couple weeks, but I believe we'll probably be ready for the next podcast, and we will put out some good quality in there as well. So with that, let's go ahead and start getting into the podcast and start getting into the main segment. Well, as always with this podcast, anything that we're going to cover, to start off the show, we're going to talk about the shooting sports, because the shooting sports is an important part of the Second Amendment and to get people out there to exercise their Second Amendment in a competitive nature. And then also just to show people shooting more than what they see that portrays, especially this past week. The first story we're going to cover, and its title is Ashlyn Thomas Joins Benelli Three-Gun Shooting Team. Now, Ashlyn Thomas hails from the state of Texas, and she's one of the kind of up-and-coming shooters in gun competition. She's only 16. She's only 16 years old. She began shooting at the age of 9, and her first gun, obviously, went to rimfire. And then she just kind of fell in love with it. She said that she knew that there was something about shooting that just made her happy. Since then, expanded to the AR-15 platform, pistols, and shotguns. She currently competes in a three-gun TAC Ops division, shooting her M2. And also, she participates in USPSA, IDPA, and steel gun events. She's, been top finishes, such as Trigun, Zombies in Heartland, Texas Magpul 3-Gun, Superstition Mountain Mystery 3-Gun, A Girl and a Gun Fall. So that's pretty good stuff. Pretty, cool, I think, that, especially somebody as young as her is getting in and sponsored. That's really cool stuff. The next story we're going to talk about also comes to us from MLAND, and its title is obviously new this week on GSA, the Precision Rifle Finale. And then it says, it's precision rifle competition time. It really is. I've seen a lot of stuff, people trying to asking others sign up, but that is to be aired it's gonna be aired this Wednesday. So I release these podcasts Wednesday morning, so it's gonna be 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. I'm sorry, no, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 8 p.m. Central on the Outdoor Channel. And then in Canada, the Sportsman's Canada. Look out for the PRS match. Next article comes to us from Tactical Life. It's title is Major Matches for April 1st, USPSA Multi-PA. So there was the State IDPA Championship, and it was attended well over 200 shooters. And of course, Carry Optics, most popular division USPSA, or I'm sorry, IDPA has come up with. And there were 72 shooters that competed in there. It's pretty cool stuff. Basically, it's like if you're familiar with division production, it's not like a fast race car gun. And then also there was the 2022 USPSA Multi-Gun Nationals. Did Heavy Metal Limited, Heavy Metal Tactical, Limited, and Open. And Nate Stekowicz, he just won past another person, defending champion Daniel Horner, limited divisions in Russell, and additionally John Weedle takes home then the Open. So that's good stuff. Congratulations. And when we start getting into this episode now, that's all the good stuff. I'm going to throw some other good things in there and just kind of like some what the fuck stuff. And this is going to be my first what the fuck type my first what the fuck type story. So this actually, I've heard this story from other things. I wanted to put this out as this source because what we do in the gun community has lasting ripple effects, especially if shit. So I wanted to make sure that whenever you're out at the range, at gun shows, at the gun stores, whatever it may be, don't act like, you know, shit like that. This comes to us from the New York Post, and its title is Gun Teacher Tells Black Students to Lick Chicken Grease Off Finger. Now, this guy is an absolute fucktard, and he's actually a part of a bigger training group, but basically, he was teaching a class in Las Vegas, and he told the black students during his class to always lick chicken grease before shooting and to always make sure there is a white person around to blame. This guy's name is Nephi Kaliki Olivia. He is the owner of Vegas Concealed Carry Weapon. He was instructing a class at the Clark County Library. So, I mean, there's whole things. What the shit this guy was doing. He also showed slides titled Firearm Safety for White People and Firearm Safety. One slide, he had a stereotyped caricature of a masked black man, saggy, and flashing an apparent gang sign. He holds his gun sideways. I'm telling you, this guy is just a fucking, I mean, the fact that this guy did this, I understand that he is, you know, obviously foreigner. He's not, you know, maybe he didn't grow up in American culture, but just because of his name, or even if he had, maybe he was raised in where the American culture wasn't the prevalent one. But shit, man, if you have been in America long enough to where you can, you know, purchase a firearms business or start a firearms business and can create classes and you teach these classes to other people, you have to have some sort of fucking common sense. And not only that, you have to have some sort of fucking, I apologize for the pause, but I'm like, you have to have some sort of self-awareness to realize what's going on in the country to see like, hey, this isn't okay. This isn't good. So he always says, always shoot the gun right side up. Always make sure there's a white person around to blame for everything that goes wrong in your life. Always aim for small children to ensure you actually hit another gang member. Just absolute fucking stupid shit. And he's teaching this at a fucking library. So I'm assuming this was probably how at least here locally, like, you know, they have like self-defense classes, women's self-defense classes, all that kind of shit. And it's only held at like a city building or a library, that kind of, but anyway, they obviously come out. Kelvin Watson on the library in a statement that the concern or condemns hate speech and informed will be meeting to view the room rental policy. Okay, so he did rent it. Man, I still don't understand what the fuck this guy, what did he think that this was, this was okay? Really fucking sue. You know, I can understand, like, you can have like an honest conversation. Like, okay, like if you're, you know, black and you carry concealed carry, you know, obviously, you know, we want to make sure that if you have a self-defense that you don't get entangled, sort of, let's say, like, you know, misidentification or whatever. So this is what I would suggest happen. If you feel like you fall in this, it could be black, it could be white, it could be Hispanic, Middle Eastern, Asian, whatever it may be. It could be just depending on what you wear. It could be depending on where you're at, that kind of stuff. Just because of the fact that, you know, you're of a certain race, if you are like in a heavy, in a high crime area like that, I'm sure the police response, no matter what the fuck you like, that kind of, yeah. And he goes on to say he's an African American, he's from a Muslim, for my comedy, an event for fodder for your political nonsense. It's shameful. That audience was my audience. It was compromised, a wide mix. And I'm sorry, that's still dumb. He actually, he advertised this. I don't know. He advertised this as, like, a, almost like a comedy. Like, there's an advertisement of him. It says, don't mess with Vegas library minorities for concealed carry equality. It says, get your CCW permit. And he's dressed like he is if a comedian actually said this thing, you know, I'd be like, poor taste, that's petite, but hey, like, that's what you get from, but if you're a concealed carry instructor, Just fucking pick one of what he thought of. He did this. So that's why I say just make sure that you are mindful and self-aware of what you say, because what you say is going to come back on the... this next story is very tragic. I saw this, I think it was late last week or earlier this week, and horrible, senseless. So this comes to us from Tactical Life, I chose, and its title is Grantful Georgia Gun Store Triple Murder and Robbery. So what has happened, just absolutely heartrending, is there was a gun store with I believe it was an indoor range, owned by an older gentleman, and he was working there along with his wife, and they had their, I believe it was a 10-year-old grandson with them in the store, and apparently it was called Lock, Stock, and Barrel Shooting. And what happened was, rush hour that evening, a white Ford dually truck, a black Ford, obviously multiple people came into their standings, and what they end up doing, murdering the gun store owner, his wife, and their grandchild, and they stole about 40 firearms from the gun store after. Now, obviously, you know, the local city has reached out to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, like their state police investigation, and also the ATF. I mean, the NSSF has also stepped in as well. The ATF has posted a $5,000 reward. The NSSF, is the foundation, posted a matched reward, and a city of Gilbert. So it's still a $15,000 in regards to any information that. Now, I will say that, you know, like I have in my law enforcement, I've worked like kind of like smashing groups where gun stores have been closed, and these burglars break in and then they steal these guns, these guns always get found. Always get caught, just because of the fact that when you are, you know, in possession of a stolen firearm, especially involved in a federal, those people that at Fed time, you're not looking. So that's very tragic. I know I have some listeners in Georgia. They're probably aware of this. And then obviously post this on media, and hopefully we can find the that did this in jail for that shit right there. Kind of going into some more news that's a little bit more cheerful before we kind of get into more depressing. Like to kind of, you know, slice some good, you know, good pieces of meat in my sandwiches, so that way you guys don't like fuck, I'm almost depressing. But anyway, this title is, this is from Ballistic, and its title is Women Propelling Gains at Firearm Industry Growth, Purchasing, and Advocacy. Now, I 100% believe this, and this is something that we've talked about before, because if you look at, especially guns during Trump's era, whenever supposed Trump slump, there's a lot of talk about, you know, what, you know, new weapons developing and all that kind of stuff. And you could tell that the market was being driven by the demand. The demand at that time was small, concealable for women. And if you're a small framed, you may not feel comfortable locking it. So that's what really kind of drove the market for those slim 9mm. And, you know, we got great guns like the SIG 65, 3, Shield, all that kind of, you know, we got a lot of good guns out. So it's a good article. I definitely want to feel definitely that this is something it's great. That's his thing. But, you know, it's just I believe it's a good generic term that the Second Amendment. And I do include more, you know, the Second Amendment community inclusive in regards to just, you know, being fucking old white. Whenever somebody thinks of, pardon me, but if you are a, you know, if you talk to a control advocate and you ask him, what do you think, gun show, a average shooting match, stuff like that, what that looks like to them, they're probably going to think, well, white guys or of fucking crazy QAnon. But really, you know, it's a lot of different people. You got some straight-laced white collar guy. You got some straight-laced white collar guys. There are a couple women in there. There was, of course, like some younger CrossFit looking dudes, probably military. Of course, there's some older guys this year. There was minority people, some difference like that. You know, you just have to show. And like, for example, a girl that really push this out there, dispel that. Going interesting. And this next article is coming from Firearm Blog. And its title is Your Girl and Partner on Two Tour. Now, what this is, company sports with optics. These, they go around the country, stuff, shoot, electronic range, just different things. And it's pretty good. You know, it's really good to get those. You know, it's a good way to. So that's something that a family member or a friend, whatever it may be, look that up. They're starting their, some more good news. Amland, Nebraska, is set for a vote Monday. So recording this for weekend. So that's going to coming up. I hope you live in Nebraska, call legislature, for legislative bill 773. It's still progressing the votes for the Senate to the governor's desk. You know, this has been a great year for constitutional carry, and I want to see us keep states to that. So if you are in Nebraska, reach out to the legislature. Speaking of adding more states, this and Georgia's Governor Kemp signs constitutional carry bill, which is phenomenal. I think that is so great, and I believe that it is important for us to make sure, you know, especially because Georgia, man, Georgia the past few elections has been turning purple or blue, whatever you want to call it, but basically voting for politicians that traditionally ports, and especially Florida. Florida is the sense of population. Other parts of the Atlanta being the metropolis that is spot in the state. And I think it's important to show, you know, in Georgia that we have had a Second Amendment win there, even though we've had people move there from all over the country. Because Georgia's industry's booming. You know, they were making tons of movies there. You know, there was that brief moment after their, you know, transgender the fuck, you know, leftists were bitching about that they said to film there. But, I mean, they're not going to stop filming it because they literally have built a Hollywood. It's got more studios than actual Hollywood. So, I mean, a lot going for all those people to move there and for this to pass. That shows that the Second Amendment is more inclusive in all people before there's been show this. Is that even, you know, like in the 80s and Republicans said, you know, yes, when obviously 2000, where, you know, Republicans were staunched against control. And I believe now that especially when you have these, I hope that they read that the Second Amendment, you vote for that, push for the Second Amendment. And I hope that these politicians, whether you're, you know, like pro-gay, anti-gay, pro-social welfare, anti-social welfare, I hope that no matter what, that the Second Amendment is clear and black and white. And speaking of, you know, the Second Amendment, I'm telling you, this shit right here, so this is where we start going to story. That where if I had fucking hair, I'm bald, I started shaving my head bald, and I started going, so like, I shaved my head, I'm bald. If I had hair, I'd fucking pull. So, this first article, Chicago sent, and its title is When Stores Sold Guns That Fueled Chicago Crime Broke the Law, ATF Went. So, according to this article, now I'm not too sure, and this is actually a USA Today journalist. USA and the truth for both, but it talks about how Chicago City Hall identifies weapons regularly were in crimes lenient with violation, such as selling to straw buyers, transfer without background checks, and doctoring. Now, I am very curious on the evidence just because of the fact that if a FFL transferred guns without a background or they were caught doctoring record, that person could go to jail. At the very least, very fucking least, they'd lose their FFL. So, ATF inspection records, according by the Trace and USA Today, for 13 gun dealers and singled out by the city of Chicago suppliers of a disproportionate number of guns using crimes, more than 120 violations of the federal gun store. Only one store passed its inspection violation. So now, of course, I'm curious, when they say violation, what violations are they talking about? You know, you know, they talking about violation, you know, because if you own an FFL, which, you know, something I've been studying, I'm still going after my FFL. You know, if you know what a ATF inspection, you know, they basically look at your books to make sure everything's correct. And there might be, you know, there may be discrepancies. And when I say discrepancies, you know, they could be as little as, you know, hey, put this, the buyer filled out this box, should have filled out this. I'm sure this is the answer for this box, but they accidentally, which, you know, as the FFL, you're supposed to judiciously check the 4470 in the background check. But of course, you know, shit happens. We're all people. I understand. Or is it like they're saying? Is it, you know, they're saying that, hey, you know, this person didn't do a background, which, again, I don't see how it'd be possible. You know, and when they say doctoring records, you know, are they talking about maybe, hey, this person did put the answer for box 11 in box 12. I whited out box 11 and had them put the box 12 and 12. Normally, whenever I fucked up a 4470, they just throw the bit. And it's talking about how this then Mayor Ron showed that nearly one in four guns picked up by the Chicago came from just 10 stores in Illinois, and the top three stores together accounted for 2,000 guns. Which, you know, I will say that's pretty fucking suspect, okay? That's pretty suspect. And it's probably going to be straw purchase. You know, that's the main thing. And, you know, there is a Facebook part of the shop. And, you know, there are things in there to where, you know, people always post. And I've seen this personally myself at gun shows and at gun stores and stuff like that, where people are like, hey, which gun did you want? Oh, okay, that's the one you want? Okay. Hey, I want to get this gun right here. Automatically, the gun store employee should stop right then and there and said, hey, I'm not going to sell you this gun based off of me hearing you. I feel that you're purchasing somebody else, and I can't legally do that. But it goes on to state when they discover these violations, offered penalties or warnings repeatedly. Now, which I do agree. If this is true, that is an issue, because we don't allow ourselves to become, we don't need to allow ourselves to be example. And that's something really hold ourselves accountable for. And I'm telling you, this article is pretty interesting. I'm very curious what it said, what the evidence is, because obviously they don't show evidence. They just paraphrase. And obviously they reached out to the comment and respond. It's in three cases of problems. There's license instead. There's a lot of stuff going on there that I'm curious. And again, like I said, they don't show the evidence, that you would think that they would have, actual copies of the report, but they don't. It's just one of those things that and I put this out here just because they're very liberal. It's just there's a lot of propaganda that's going to be because of what we're going to be talking about that is going to try and pull at people's heartstrings to get in support of this. And that's something that we need to be on guard about. Second Amendment need to. And let's go on into this next story. And Sacramento ridiculous response. And again, all this stuff is going on before what we're going to be talking about. So if you aren't familiar with what happened on April 3rd, this happened like right after the last step. There was a shooting in Sacramento, California of 6 people and wounding 12 others. Now, obviously, this was dubbed a mass shooting by the media. And obviously, if you aren't familiar, after what happened came out, the two gentlemen were arrested. And, it's all like, this is why you ban assault weapons, high capacity, ban ghost gun kind of stuff, and require back, repeal manufacturers. All this stuff came out from the politician or pro gun. But of course, what ended up happening, they caught the suspects, is the suspects were, both of them, if they went to a, gun store to try and purchase a firearm legally, they would be denied. Because one of them was just released from prison. He served less than half of a 10-year sentence for domestic violence, assault. It's insane. And then not only that, these guns that were used are obviously, already, there's already laws on the all of this. Before they actually even did the shooting, all of this made illegal. Somebody that went to, persons forbidden, the types of firearms and magazines and stuff. It's just wild that there's all this gun control in place already, and they didn't decide the ability our law abiding citizens to defend them from such criminal that the justice system let out before that they were it's just absolute insane the logic for this. Hard for me. What makes them think that this is gonna be okay, and what makes them think that this is the logical route to go? Like, oh, more. This is something that we talked about in the last episode that I just, this comes to, and a lot of this is, a lot of these news, I've talked to people, sources and stuff. But I mean, I like Ammoland. I have gotten bamboozled by them, because what Ammoland really is, it's almost like a blog where, people submit articles and solicit, post the articles, and there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. But a lot, it's got a very big, very wide array of different perspectives. This next article from Pennsylvania House Speaker most allowable actions client of AG's gun. So now we talked about this before. There was a report for quote unquote ghost that they are reviewing all allowable and reaction investigation following what appears to have been a violation of various state and federal gun laws and ABC hidden. Do I believe they're actually going to do it? Fuck no. Just because politicians always they're definitely. They want to make sure that their buddies, their fellow politicians, look out for them in case their dirty laundry comes, out into the sun. And, because of the fact that those politicians. This next article, Ammoland as well, New York City Mayor Eric Adams blueprint in gun violence is a hoax. Obviously, this is a big scene after a subway shooting there in the city. Obviously, he's just stuff because of some more gun how they end gun violence for this. Next article, Ammoland. If you aren't familiar, okay, so these next series of articles, and they come Ammoland, guns.com, pew pew tactical, Gat Daily, USA Today, News, all kinds of, just because after them, just because like all these articles, about a dozen different that talk about aspects that I want that keep it in flow as well, flow. But Biden announced this past week a executive order that is 365 pages, and also announced nominee for the ATF, which, you know, we've talked about is the guy, you know, this next guy is Steve Dettelbach. And if you watched this news conference with Biden, you know, that's like my new favorite thing to do, political wise, is to watch, like, I watch the State of the Union just to see how bad Biden fucked shit up. Apparently they must have really shot him up good stuff on the State of the Union, because he didn't really, on this one, he fucked up real bad. That quote said, "Today, to lead and support the dedicated men and women of the AFT," he said AFT again, "I'm proud to nominate Steve Dettelbach, excuse me, I mispronounced your name. I just, as director of Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives." It's just insane how just fucked up he is. I'm the firm believer that Biden has fucking done. And anybody that helped elect this man, because it was clear that he had dementia, anybody that helped elect him should go to jail for elder, because, yeah, I mean, what they're making this poor guy, I'm surprised the president. Anyway. Dettelbach is a bureaucratic creature. He really is. He is a U.S. attorney from the Obama days. He go on and says, "I've seen the firsthand ATF do to protect us from violence. They're dedicated, professional, and they're effective. They don't boom. They don't write the laws. All right. Well, I tell you what. If this guy firmly believes that, I might support him, because that's exactly what happened in this fucking news conference that where he was, you know, talked about being nominated to fucking run the ATF. He used his position, of course, as the U.S. attorney to advocate for gun control for years, publishing op-eds such as requiring universal background checks makes sense. He obviously says something like, "Neither of us wants to target shooters, hunters, and other guns, but I believe in the Second Amendment." But that kind of, he says, "We simply think that felons subjected to the same background as law-abiding it's fucking ridiculous, retarded. I don't know why he thinks, you know, so automatically you're equivalent, you know, thinking, you know, putting on the same page of gun owners as felons just because they want to purchase guns. It's absolute, you know, there's other things as well. In this, obviously, this fucking news conference, Biden talked about, you know, quote unquote, and here's something else too. And this may be an unpopular, but I think, if you saw the news, obviously what he had was a Polymer 80 bi-build, and, you know, he was talking about, it's so easy. He held up, like, it's so easy to put this together. It's not that fucking easy. I mean, I've known more people that fucked those kits up than because they took off more supposed to. And in that 365 pages executive order, they actually name Polymer 80s bi-build. So, you know, it's just can do because of the positions of power. It's like we have no constitutional freedoms to protect us from tyrannical people if they happen to get elected. The whole thing was in regards to these ghost guns, and from what I'm hearing is pistol braces are next piece. I've said it before and I'll say it again, but I've heard pistol now, you know, of course, all this is being circled around what the ATF is, so called crimes. Last year, the law enforcement 20,000 steal ghost guns to the ATF. Then a tenfold in those ghost guns, tenfold in 5 years. These guns are weapons of choice for many criminals. We're going to do everything we can to deprive them of that choice. When we find them, put them in jail for a long time. Law enforcement is surrounded. Now, what people aren't telling you, and what nobody's telling you, that I think is important difference, what bullshit media and what bullshit that the ATF and the administration is peddling, is that these quote-unquote ghost guns is, you know, they say 20,000, horseshit. When they say that there's 20,000 ghost guns, you know, and they're showing you these 80% receivers and all that kind of stuff, what they're actually reporting as ghost gun, to include in that 20,000. Now, hell, there might be some, you know, 80% guns in crime, but it is minuscule, fucking minuscule on the actual of what 20,000. What the rest of that 20,000 is guns where the serial number has been altered or erased, like, you know, scraped off of the firearm. So that is going to be the real problem, because that is what criminals normally do. I can't tell you how many times in my law enforcement career I've seen people carrying firearms with altered or obliterated or attempted to be obliterated serial numbers. You know, they some bullshit like nail file or fucking gas station knife to try and scratch out the serial number. So that is what majority of these quote-unquote ghost guns that the ATF is reporting. That is the hoax. And it was all started by a Carlos Canino, a former special agent in charge of the Angels Field Division. In 2020, anti-gun activists asked Canino about the prevalence of homemade firearms in California. An earlier study said 30% of those guns recovered by ATF in California are unserialized ghost guns, but Canino paid attention, said the real numbers were actually much higher, 40%, so almost half of our cases, these ghost guns, and of course, that was horseshit. The Second Amendment Foundation Investigative Journalism Project published last week, Field Division, after it was made, and they were unable to verify any figures provided in 20 by this Canino without a time period. He hears comments is what the ATF saying. So the ATF is trying to cover their fucking no surprise there. And let's talk a little bit about some of the lies that Biden mentioned news conference. So something he said, Biden stated from the beginning, the Second Amendment didn't say you could own any gun you want and big as you want. You couldn't buy a cannon when in fact the Second Amendment was passed. And certain people from the very beginning weren't just firearms. Of course, it's a wholehearted lie. You could purchase cannons. I actually know people that own that they purchased. Some like reenactments. Some of them are just because, hey, I fucking own. I want to be one of those people. I've looked at buying cannon. There's no federal laws about what type of gun you can have states and no states limit. This is the private. So, I mean, of course, you could have your own. Fuck, there's, you know, statutes in the Constitution where you could become a legally sanctioned pirate. Going into the next claim, Biden will be longer. It's just insane, the lies that he... something else that came, which is just what the... And we've talked about this before. This kind of goes in with... Is that the ATF is, by law, required to not keep any firearms database that's searchable. So what is going on is, you know, anytime an FFL closes or anything like that, the FFL has to send those 4473s to the ATF for the to hold on. Now, anything after 20 years, the FFL can destroy. So if FFL's been in business for 30 years, any 4473, if they go out of business to the ATF, it has been found that the ATF is digitizing these records. They say they're doing it so that way they can get rid of the paper copy of the 4473s, but it is in such a electronic program that if they wanted to search that database, could. That is against federal law. Now, Biden is in this executive order, says that within 20 days, FFLs have to keep 4473 indefinitely, and that if they ever go out of business, they have to send all those 4473 to the ATF. So I'm telling you, this is fucking registered. I mean, it is one step closer to having, and this registry, these, you know, registration, they want to know who has what, so that way, whenever they get their way of outlawing assault weapons, whatever the fuck it may be, or if they're investigating these people for quote-unquote, you know, extremism, whatever the fuck that they want to try and call it, they are going to do this and have to know what these people have, and so that way they can be like, oh, this person has this, we need to do this, that we need to respond with enough force, this person, and that's what it's just, it's mind-blowing. And then something else with this new executive order is that there are ambiguities, I guess you could say, in the language to where you may have to serialize, you know, different parts than just the receiver. You may have to serialize a barrel, have to serialize a trigger, serialize an upper. You know, there's very vague ambiguities, executive order, that we've seen the ATF. We've seen the ATF, if the government leaves this language ambiguous, the ATF is going to make sure that it uses it for its non-intended purpose to make sure that they have more control. And, you know, Illinois, actually, at the same time this happened, Illinois has now passed a law stating that if you have, like, an AR-15 lower, it's serialized. It has to be serialized no matter what. And AR-15 uppers now have to be. I feel sorry for you people. And that's just absolute. And makes it, you know, illegal to have FFLs, to have the You know, 80% load these buy build, have them and then sell them without doing a background. And again, you know, this language is ambiguous. So currently, as it seems right now with the executive order, the only thing that's illegal to ship without a serial number is the buy build shoot kits themselves. If you just go on the strict letter of the text itself, you could purchase a complete kit minus the 80% frame from like Poly 80 or whatever company you want to use. And then on a separate order, you purchase a frame, the 80% frame, and that's completely legal. But I guarantee you, because the ambiguity of the language, the vagueness of the language, they're going to close that and say like, nope, that's not what we know exactly when we wrote this, and we're going to enforce that. Not what it says. We knew what it meant when we wrote this. That's what we're going to, and that's how they're going to get people. They're going to get people with this horseshit. It's just insane that they think that they can do this, that they can write this law without there being some sort of, repercussions for lying. And that's, I'm telling you, that's what's going on with it. There's another instance I share this to where I'm telling you the federal government's ineptitude is becoming so prevalent that I don't understand how we have a federal government. There's been foreign intelligence officers have infiltrated. If you're familiar, like see, you may be, I guess the but you got to be there. So there's like Apartment 24, federal law, foreign intelligence officers were able to rent at least five apartments, let federal agents live there for free, penthouses. It's like, hey, you can have this. You go to your, they were giving them gifts, kind of stuff. And they were mainly targeting Homeland Security and Secret Service. They actually compromised four. One of those Secret Service agents actually tipped them off that the FBI was about to come and raid them. So they were able to destroy some certain documents. I mean, they gifted them all kinds of things, weapons. You know, how can foreign nationals purchase weapons? You know, that's something. And then, of course, a judge and, they're on housing. Oh, they're too poor. They were able to shower these federal agents with lavish and be able to apartments that cost like $40,000, $50,000, you know, five of them for them to surveillance, of course, document the ineptitude of our federal that it needs less, a whole lot smaller. This stuff here is insane. Something else kind of bounced. This comes to daily, but the definition. There's been legal precedent in regards to what is considered an AR-15 frame. So that the fact that the ATF, President Biden, and who already super the judicial to overturn their already, you know, legally defined definition of frame. I'm telling you, I think this is going to be easily over to courts. It's just the fact that there's constant trying, you know, overstepping bounds by, and it's mainly the executive branch, because the ATF is an executive division, of the executive. It's you know, they answer to the executive branch. So I'm telling you, the fact that this is going on, I mean, it just goes to show how far our republic has come from being a beacon of, I guess you could say, checks and balances. You know, I mean, that's what I was always taught in school. You know, checks and balances. That's why we have, you know, the three branches of the government, you know, legislative, executive, judicial, and how, you know, this is, you know, just going over and over with what's going on. I mean, it's insane to think that they thought this to go, you know, their way. I mean, it really is. And, you know, we've talked in the last episode about Ketanji Brown Jackson, or Jackson, the new SCOTUS pick. You know, fucking the senators that voted for, should honestly be voted out. That fact that, you know, her going and just not even using the Constitution as a principal guide for the way she answered in the Senate. Because, I don't give a shit what side of the alley, you know, of the party spectrum you're on. You know, as long as you follow the Constitution, that should be the guiding principle for all, you know, government officials. It should be the guiding principle for all government. That's just the fucking crazy world that's been going on. This whole ATF Biden's thing, it's just absolutely insane. Since the last episode, though, we've also had several mass killings. I'm not even going to say shootings, because these were killings. So the first one is the most prevalent. And I'm telling you, just it's very coincidental that this happened the day after, was the Brooklyn subway shooting. This comes to, I'm getting this from USA Today. And of course, you know, USA Today, first the title of it, Brooklyn subway shooting suspects traced to firearm. Is it a case for Biden's ghost gun? You know, this, I don't know. There's been memes, and I shared it on myself. You know, of course, the New York City subway transit system has over 10,000 cameras. Guess which three weren't working the day of the shoot? The ones where the shoot. It's just insane. You know, he purchased this. It's to, you know, Ohio gun store, and you know, of course, you know, New York has some of the strictest gun control out there, and this was still allowed to happen just because of the fact that the gun control doesn't work. We've discussed this over and over. Gun control does not work. And you know, again, same thing. There's magazine limits, you know, magazine capacity limits in New York. This guy had he legitimately had large capacity magazine. From my understanding, they were like, you know, the large 30 plus round magazine. He had incendiary devices. He had you know, gasoline, firework kind of stuff. And honestly, you know, I had, you know, say it like this. Fortunately, he had those 33s. I'm sure there were probably some Chinese knockoffs, and they ended up jamming the gun, because if he had, you know, standard capacity, like 17s, 15, a Glock 8, that's what they're saying he, you know, otherwise it could have killed a lot more people, because 30 plus rounds, especially Chinese knockoffs, you know, they have the tendency of. So, I you know, I got to say, like, you know, fortunately he had those, because of the fact of, if he didn't, because he had those stupid cheap mags. But, you know, there's some other things that, you know, is just kind of odd about this. And I'm not going to put my tinfoil hat on. Just going to, you know, state some facts and, you know, let you look into it yourself. He had, you know, right where the shooting happened, just so happened a credit card and a U-Haul key was used, or was, I'm sorry, was dropped, that the suspect used. And you know, the credit card that was then dropped for the U-Haul van, of course, was his. And it was, so I mean, they were able to trace him like that. Also, you know, there was, at first when they captured him, it seemed like he, you know, the actual news report that somebody tipped it, which, I mean, it was a $50,000 reward. That's, but it turned out that he called himself in. I mean, the fact when he was in the New York police station for like 30 was and then also is that, you know, he had like all these YouTube videos out there, and you know, YouTube video, you know, YouTube is of course a part of the Silicon Valley progressive, you know, they take down conservative, and of course, you know, they take down a lot of gun, and but the, you know, this guy has two videos out there lambasting, you know, just, you know, hate speech against white people and all this other kind of stuff. And something else that was something that a lot of people talked about is that in this shooting, that a lot of Asian that were seen video after the attack. So, you know, it's unknown if he was targeting Asian people. That's just that part of New York. There's certain, like, predominantly Asian or Hispanic, you know, that kind of. So it's unknown if that was just because, I mean, it's COVID. You know, black on Asian skyrocket. It has just, you know, there's a lot of stuff to this. And then this guy's like 62 years old, fucking fat, he's old. He doesn't look like he can run. It's insane to me he was able to get away from the scenes because of the fact that everything is wearing instruction yellow vest like that. It's a whole lot of strength with that as well. And of course, the Sacramento, this guy, he was just really in prison. And of course, you know, the media is looking to jump on a case to just push. But of course, she just hasn't. And other things like that. You know, there's stuff that they harp on. You know, another one. You know, there's just a lot of stuff out there that they're looking, you know, just to push that this doesn't, you know, pretty much everything this guy had on already wouldn't stop him. Let's go ahead and start getting in. And it's ATF to guidance on version. So while it's all adapting to fire like automatic weapons, prohibited loopholes, a lot of conversion. I'm telling you, the ATF is just emboldened by this, that there's going to be a lot of shit that they're going to just see what stick. You know, more than 40 house, which they say, you know, in the deadly Sacramento shoot. I hadn't seen in regards to, I don't mean about, you know, I believe a pistol they had probably, that's supposed to be a Glock, at least. It's just insane that the House Democrats are wanting to have the ATF create this law when that's their fucking job as legislators. They're supposed to be the ones making law. They're not supposed to rely executive division to make the law themselves. They're the ones writing the law, and that's the fucking problem. That's the problem that we've seen for the past 10, 15, especially with the ATF. And then the House Democrats are, you know, they're wanting the ATF to do this themselves because they don't want to be the one, if they live in a moderate district, they don't want themselves to have their name as a yes to vote for more gun control. They want the ATF to do it so that way they, and that right there is a cowardice. The fact that they're calling, you know, on an executive branch to do their job for them, to allow the executive branch to have more control. You know, these people are so short because, you know, yes, right now Joe Biden is Joe Biden, but what has, and that's, you know, honestly, it goes both ways. Your party is in office the most, you know, you want to express them so that one quickly as possible, but you don't think that the precedent you're setting is going to, you know, the next party's going to, they're going to use that exact same precedent that you used for their own agenda. And the fact that the Democrats, this federal government, so much of the short side. So with that, let's go ahead and start wrapping up the main segment. Let's start, go ahead. To say clean up noise, you look like a dead man, like a dead man. She say you dress up noise, I feel like a dead man, a dead man. Well, the next segment, some good stuff to talk about, at least I think, and cool things that are coming out. The first thing we're going to talk about, it's actually covered by Ballistic. It's called the Voltec LifePod XT series. It says, keep your gear safe and secure in any weather. So now what this is, it's basically almost like a little bit up-armored type Pelican case, I guess you could say it. They're modular, and it's called Voltec LifePod XT. And these things, you know, have impact resistant housing, reinforced anti-theft features, modular designs, you know, allows you to customize the inside, all that kind of stuff. And the unit sells in three preset configurations to choose from. It has a built-in lock system that you company safe latch to. You use a smart central keypad or a weatherproof biometric scanner or a backup. You know, that shit's going to work. You always need it. Now, the price of it is pretty fucking wow. It's $479.99. But, you know, there's also some cool things on this that I like, you know, especially for camping. You have that kind of a 9-volt alkaline battery powers the system for up to 1 year, but the system still can completely function with the key without battery. And it's also got a hidden micro USB port that can power the battery. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Again, you know, like, I mean, it's cool. And it's something that can be useful, but, you know, for $480, that just kind of prices it out for. The next thing, it's covered by Tactical Life, and it's talking about 5.11 new products coming in summer 22. I'm a huge fan of 5.11. I can make a lot of cool stuff. You know, they're coming out with some range and rifle bags. You know, some one, you know, one for the range ready trainer bag. It's $145. And then, you know, they have a bag, you know, 36 single rifle case or 42 inch single rifle case. They're going to have backpacks and gear transports. And those, the backpack 25, a little expensive. I think, you know, 5.11, especially on their back. They're going to have concealed carry apparel. And know that. And then these shirts, the MSRP is 62. And they have a versatile layer option that is offered with a Fast Tech vest 45. They're also having some new pants and shorts. They're also having some more women apparel. Now, of course, it looks a lot less tactical, men, so it makes a little bit more. You know, they're having tactical shorts and skirts for women, and some other cool stuff. Next thing is covered by the Firearms blog, and it's talking about a new Pulsefire UBF underbarrel flamethrower. Now, this thing is fucking, you know, whenever, what was it, USA Today talked about, like, the attachment, this is just fucking insane, and I think it's so fucking, it is literally a flamethrower that attaches underneath your fucking AR-15, and it pulses flames at 25 feet. Now, obviously, this is going to a little bit more expensive, and it's, well, I say it's got about 20 seconds of fuel capacity as well. That's, you know, you're going to be able to constantly, but the kit itself, it's going to be being sold in 22, and it's going to be sold for a price of $689.99 for the standalone model, which comes to the rear handle. And then there's a backpack kit that features a 3.3 gallon. Obviously, it's a little runtime, and it's already available for $299. So that's some pretty cool shit if you, you know, have that kind of flex on your fucking. The next thing we're going to talk about is coming to us from score.com, and it's talking about the Rock Island new polymer pistol. Well, I say polymer. STK 100. And what this is, it's a new pistol from Rock Island Armory. And it's, I don't want to say it's a Glock clone, but pretty much is. But it's like the new type of pistol from Rock Island. It's got an aluminum grip. That's why I say it's polymer, but it's just enough to weight to reduce felt recoil, it states. It's got the angle of a 1911, 17 rounds, barrels 5 inches, and it's MSRP is $499. That's a pretty good deal. Next thing, and this is kind of cool, so I'm a huge fan of retro stuff. Amaland has got this article. It talks about Federal Ammunition's special 100th free shot shell packaging. So I thought this was kind of cool. I'm a huge retro fan. I love all me shit. And the shell boxes are just very like reminiscent of the 50s and 60s. So I think that's super cool out there, the 100th anniversary. Next thing comes to us from the Firearm Blog, and it's like 3 new Magpul P-Mag 50 round drum magazines. And I thought this was super cool. This is for the MP5. It's also for the Maztec. And, you know, like one of these is like, you know, obviously these like PCCs, P5s, Glock type or Glock type P stuff. So, I mean, I think this should be fun. The next thing is comes to a suppressors too. It's an ultra modular rimfire can. And, you know, this thing is, I thought was really interesting just because of the fact it's really small. It's, you know, compact and, you know, you can adjust it to be a little bit quieter. But I mean, because it looks like, so I thought that was pretty interesting out there. And its MSRP is only $465, which is not terrible. I mean, it's a little, you know, on the market, the can market, then, you know, there's other rounds or cheaper cans out there for. That's going to be it for the gun gear news and reviews. Unfortunately, gun culture segment this week. So let's go ahead and start wrapping it up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to greatly appreciate you for listening to another episode of the 2A Lifestyle. Again, if you haven't already, subscribe button where this podcast, that's the best way to keep up episodes as they come out. Also, if you can, leave us a review. That's the best way for people to find us when they're on content. Also, go ahead and check out our social media. We're everywhere on 2A. Also, go ahead and check out our Patreon. It's greatly appreciated. Whatever you guys give us, it goes directly to this podcast. It's not something I use it to buy a new soundboard. I use it to go to SHOT Show. Or different stuff. So greatly appreciate you to check out our Patreon. And you can just give us $1 a month. Until then, also, I greatly appreciate you. See you guys and keep on enjoying that 2A lifestyle.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees. And Scotty doesn't know.